All right, that was Kelly Clarkson, and it was the song Addicted. That's what we're going to be talking about. So off the top, you're going to be thinking I'm talking about you. I'm not, okay? Every single one of us is going to say, you're just preaching to me. I'm not, I promise you. This is the Word of God. It's going to be harsh a little bit, but I promise you, if you will hang in there with me and let God have a chance here, you're going to go out of here with some understanding about some addictions that you didn't come in with. And it's going to help you and help others. But what did God know thousands and thousands of years ago and write in the book of Proverbs that would help us today and be pertinent today and relevant today into the things that we deal with in life? Is there anything in Proverbs about addictions? Well, the truth is there really is, and there's a lot of things in there. I know maybe some of us struggle with addictions. You know, we've fought with addictions in our life, or if we haven't, maybe, you know, haven't ever had one, we've definitely battled sometimes along the way. We've also had friends. You see, what addiction does is make the person a slave to it. It becomes the master. We're going to talk about that, but you know it's true. And if you haven't ever had a real addiction in your life, well, at least in, I'm sure you have a loved one or a friend or a relative, somebody who has had one, and you've watched that thing master them, control them, ruin or nearly ruin their lives. And so what has God got to say about this? So we're going to look at it. We're going to see what God really, how He wants us to understand it so that we can not only help and serve them, but we can also help and serve ourselves in the area of addiction. Now, again, initially, you're probably not going to like what I'm going to be saying initially, but it's not condescending. All of us, many of us have had an addiction at one time or the other in our lives. I personally, years ago, was addicted to nicotine, nearly got addicted to alcohol, and who knows what else. But so we've all suffering here, so it's not condescending. I'm not talking down to you at all. I'm not preaching to you. I'm just trying to help somebody. So hang in here with me, and I think by the time we get done, we're gonna be in agreement, and we're gonna see that God's really trying to help us. So in Proverbs 16:18, I want you to see this. If you've never had an addiction and you think you're better than, then you need to read this particular verse in Proverbs 16:18. It says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So if you think you're better than an addiction, watch out. Because when you think you stand, this thing will come upon you and you'll fall. So don't condemn people. What you want to do is serve them. You want to help them. You want to help them out of the addiction and the controlling of that thing. So here we go. I'm going to make you mad. I'm going to be harsh, it appears, but I'm not really. And that's not my intention at all. I just want to get to the face of the thing so we can go ahead and deal with it, okay? I want to give you what I feel like is a biblical definition of an addiction. So let me read it to you, and it's going to be on the screens for you here in just a second. Here we go. Let's define it. Addiction is a sin. Addiction is a sin which has great power over a person who self-selected their own enslavement to an idol. Now, I know that's off the wall a little bit for you, but again, addiction is a sin, and the thing that addiction does is a powerful thing that we self-select and we enslave ourselves to it, and it becomes an idol in our life. Now, let me work here. The thing in and of itself is not sin. For example, prescription medication is not sin. Thank God, right? I mean, we all need it time. But when prescription medication tells you when to take it, when it controls you, when it becomes an idol and a god and commanding you what to do, it also becomes sin. Because it's now taking the place of God in your life. I'm going to work. You're going to see this. So this is kind of how it works. My primary deal today, focus today, goal today, is to make us understand that definition of what I've just given to you. And addiction can be anything. People become slaves to many, many things. Sex, food, money, shopping, drugs, technology, internet, hobbies, all kinds of pleasures, all kinds of passions, all kinds of gratifications. So this is what we're dealing with. And what we do, or what a person will do, is they'll shackle themselves to their God. And the God becomes the master and rules over them, will ruin their lives, will eventually destroy them, and the goal of the addiction is to kill the person. So let's work. Now, an addiction is different from a disease. Let's try to work here just a second and separate these things. It is not right and correct to combine an addiction with cancer. A person with cancer did not self-select that problem. When the addiction, the person did self-select it. And it's more than semantics. It's more than just how we say something today to be politically correct. It's more than semantics. You see, because when we say that somebody, say, that is an alcoholic, when we say that this person has a disease rather than an addiction, or rather than a sin, or rather than an idol in their life, what we're doing is we're saying, now this person is a victim. And what this person needs is medication or treatment. It's not that way. What this person's got to do is identify the idol, repent, and then allow God to fix their heart. It's totally different. And so when we say that it's a disease, we're not putting things into the proper perspective. We're not really helping the person. We're making them a victim rather than an addict. And the addict needs help. The victim can't help it. So, actually, what I really want us to see and hear today, and this is a major point that I'm wanting to make today, what I really want you to see and hear today about an addiction is that it's a worship disorder. So, worship disorder. Now, I'll make it very, very clear to you in just a few minutes. Now, we tend to think that addictions are something new, and so what we need then is new insight, new ideas, so we can deal with addictions. We don't really look to the Word of God for the solution. So what did God have to say 3,000 years ago in the book of Proverbs that's worked all these years about addictions? Does the book of Proverbs say anything about this? Yes, it does. And I'm going to show you six. There's more, but six are very, very clear in the book of Proverbs concerning addiction. So let me run these off for you quickly. How about sexual addiction? That's number one. We read about sexual addiction in these chapters, chapters 2, 5, 6, 7, 22, and chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs. And what the writer Solomon is doing for his son is he's telling him about a woman who's actually a nymphomaniac. She's can't get enough. And she has a problem here, but it's just as true with a man. If a woman was telling her daughter about this same thing, she would flip it around and talk about a whoremonger. So understand this isn't specific man or woman. This is the way it works. It's a person that can't get enough sex. Now, next time, this is going to be a two-part lesson this week and next week because I couldn't get it all into one. So next week we're going to read a lot of these scriptures. We're going to talk about this some. But this person is addicted to sex. And marrying hasn't got anything really to do with it, whether they were married or not married. This is their God. This is their idol. Book of Proverbs talks a lot about it. Let me show you number two. Number two is the sluggard. Now, what the sluggard is just a lazy, lazy person. The scriptures that it shows us in the book of Proverbs is in chapter 6, chapter 10, chapter 13, 15, 19, 20, 21, 22, 24, 26. It's got a bunch to say here. And what this is, a person who just doesn't work, will not work, will not inconvenience themselves in any kind of a way. They're addicted to craving nothing. They waste their lives away doing nothing. Let me read you this scripture. It's in Proverbs 21:25. The sluggard's craving. The sluggard's what? Our addiction. You see this? The sluggard's craving will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. He's wasting his life away because he will not do anything. And we might not think of laziness as being an addiction, but by definition it is, because it has become the god. And the Proverbs talks about a person like this, like a door on a hinge. It just sits there and swings. And it compares him to laying in the bed, just rolling from one side to the other. And it has become their god. And it interferes with their worship. It's a worship disorder, because they will not even get up out of bed to come to worship God. Number three, greed. And these people, of course, are addicted to what? Money, we think, but it's really mammon, and I'll talk about that in just a second. Proverbs chapters 11, 21, 23, and 28. Jesus called it mammon. And what it is, it's not only money. What it really is what money can provide. The status that money brings and the possessions that money can acquire. And they become passionate about money, or about the security that money gets them, and what the things that money gives them. Jesus calls it mammon because it's much far-reaching. Money's a big, big, big god to people. Proverbs 1:18. They set an ambush for themselves. Their booby trap, they booby trap their own lives. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for gain. It ends by robbing them of life. People that are greedy like this, they miss time with their family. They miss time with God. They miss time doing the really wonderful things of life because they're so addicted to greed. Greed is a powerful addiction. And it interferes. And you don't have to have money to be greedy. Most of the greediest people I know don't have any. Because why? They spend it all. And they're in debt up to their eyeballs. Because they maxed out the credit cards. Because now they're slave to the greed. Slave to the credit cards. Slave to what they owe. It's addiction. It's an idol. And it interferes with worship. You can't worship. You won't worship God. Give God money when you're greedy for it. Number four, pride. Chapters 3, 8, 11, 13, 15, 16, 17, and 18 all talk about this addiction. What the pride thing is an addiction to yourself. You just worship yourself, you know? It's all about you, what you want, what you need, what you think. And it's a being inconsiderate of anyone else's feelings, anyone else's needs. Proverbs 21:24. The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. He behaves with, look at this word, overweening. I'm going to send that word to O'Reilly. O'Reilly likes these words that are overweening. Overweening pride means arrogant. Arrogant. They're so arrogant. Proverbs 18:12. Before his downfall, a man's what? A man's what? Heart is proud. Where has pride gotten? Into his heart, which is the real problem. We're going to talk about this. Didn't guard his heart. Pride got in his heart. Heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. These people shackle themselves to themselves. They become the god. They become what it's all about. And that interferes with their worship. Because they're their God. God's not God. It's what I want. It's what I want to do. Number five, the drunkard. We call him an alcoholic, but this could be expanded into any kind of substance abuse. The drunkard, chapters 20, 21, 23, 26. You know, you read about this in the book of Proverbs. Any kind of substance abuse, though, fits into this thing. We're going to talk about this one next time, too. We're going to use a lot of scriptures about this one. Number six is the glutton. Chapters 23 and 28 talk about this. Proverbs 23:2, rough verse. Put a knife to your throat if you're given to gluttony. A glutton's god is food. God is food. It will eventually kill him, and that's what the verse is saying. You're killing yourself. Very similar to just slitting your throat. It becomes food, becomes eating, becomes the comfort, the security, and the companion. like everybody else isn't close enough, doesn't care. So just eat. So the scriptures speak to addictions. They speak a lot. And maybe they don't use our terms that we would use today, but they give us great insight and have for thousands and thousands of years. So let me deal with it straight. Let me just get in there again. I know all of you are already saying, you're talking about me. No, I'm not. I just want to help you. So let's deal with it straight on. Let's dive in it. Let me do another harsh thought, harsh saying, and then I'll fix it. Let's look at this one, this slide. Idolatry is the reason a person is addicted. Underlying the addiction is an idol. And for the addiction to ever be corrected, the idol must be addressed. I'll read it again. Idolatry is the reason a person is addicted. Underlying any addiction is an idol. And for the addiction to ever be corrected, the idol must be addressed. Now, as we've already talked about in Proverbs, what our society does and what we will do, because this is how we're trained, is we're trained to deal with the behavior. We call it management, behavior management. This is what we do. We'll have a problem, and we'll try to fix this particular problem. But often, in most cases, what really happens is that though it seems a person gets better in one behavior, they get worse in another. For example, maybe you've heard this said before, and maybe experienced it, but you've heard people say, well, I stopped smoking, but now I can't stop eating. I've gained all this weight. Well, what have they done? They've just changed one behavior for another behavior. One idol for another idol. And they never have really addressed the problem. They just changed idols. They never really got down to the root of the situation. And when we think of an idol or idolatry, we basically think, our minds go to these primitive people who made golden calves, you know, and who out, you know, and they worshiped them, and or maybe took a totem pole and put all their gods on it and worshiped the image, or took a stump, the Bible talks about, and carved something out, and that becomes their god of worship, their altar. But that's not at all what God calls an idol, and that's not at all where an idol dwells. So let me give you God's perspective of what an idol is and where an idol is. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 3 says this, Son of man, these men, these people have set up idols, where? In their hearts. And these wicked things have become stumbling blocks before their faces. So what I want you to see is where the idol really is. And idols is plural. Hearts are plural. What he's saying is these people have got all these different idols in all their different hearts. He goes on. Verse 4. I'm emphasizing this one thought, not the whole context here. It says, when an Israelite sets up idols in his heart. Again, that's where the idol is. A child of God, and you know, that's what the thought is. Verse 7. Separates himself from me. Does what? Separates himself from me. What the idol will always do is separate you from God. It's the worship deal. Separates himself from me and sets up idols in his heart. See, idolatry isn't about what's out there. Idolatry is really about what's in here, in your heart. It's not what's in your hand, in your mouth, in your stomach, or even in your mind. It's about what's in your heart. What have you set up in your heart that interferes with your worship for God? What's there that comes before God in your life? That's your idol. That's your addiction. If a person is clinging to something other than God, then that becomes their idol. It's something that a person has that they love to do more than loving God. It's something that a person can find comfort in more than they can find comfort in God. It's something that a person craves and wants more than they want God. It's thinking that something is better than God. It's a worship, inverted worship. It's a distorted worship. It's a worship disorder. And this idol becomes the God. You identify with the idol more than you identify with God. It's the idol that now blesses you. It's the idol that now fulfills you. It's the idol that now comforts you. I use the term worship disorder. Now let me show it to you biblically and show you that I'm very accurate here. Romans 1:25. They exchanged, it's something other than, you know, other than God. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. This is what next week's going to talk about a lot. See, the deal is that the idol lies to you, tells you it's the solution, when it's really the problem. A heroin addict will say that the heroin is really will be my solution. I'll feel better if I get another fix. But really, the heroin is the problem. They've exchanged the truth of God for a lie and, here we go, worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever to be praised. Amen. What have they done? They've distorted their worship. The worship disorder. They worship and serve the created things rather than the Creator. Worship is inverted. We are created to worship. We're created to worship God. We're created to love Him. But what happens is that rather than loving God, we begin to worship created things. And our worship becomes inverted. You're going to worship something. Something is set up in your heart. Every single one of us. And what God wants us to do is enjoy created things, to manage created things, to steward created things. But He doesn't want us to worship created things. And when we begin to set up these things in our heart, they become addictions and they begin to rule us. We worship and serve the created things rather than the Creator. And this can be anything. It can be food, sex, relationships, codependencies, drugs, sports, children, alcohol, anything that interferes with your worship for God. Anything that comes before Him. Anything that is set up in our heart and it becomes way more important than it should be. It becomes way more necessary than it should be. That's an addiction. And it's a worship disorder. And eventually, it will rule us. It will rule you, it will rule me, it will rule anybody that lets it set up. And we will we'll end up doing what the idol says, what that idol God says, rather than what God Himself says to us. And people will admit this when they say, I can't stop smoking. I can't stop doing drugs. I can't stop doing heroin. You see, and this is probably a very good example. This is one I used. When a person is addicted to heroin, this thing becomes such a god in their life. It demands, it masters, it gives commands to what this person is going to do. And this person will start worshiping the heroin, the idol. They'll give money to it. Eventually, they'll give their occupation to it. They'll sacrifice their occupation. People will sacrifice their families to it, their children and relationships with them to it. They'll eventually sacrifice their health to it. They'll eventually sacrifice their own life to it. They wouldn't even come close to even thinking about sacrificing like that for God. But yet they'll do it for an idol. So you tell me. You tell me who's their God. You tell me who they're worshiping. Paul, let me go on here. Paul, going on in Romans 1, deals with something that seems like it's just, you know, kind of today and current. But it's not. Romans 1:26, the very next verse, he goes on. He says, even their women exchanged, inverted, rather than, even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Lesbianism. Bestiality. In the same way, the men also abandoned, inverted, rather than abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversions. Homosexuality is not something new. It's just got to the place where it's such a god in our society now. It's out of the closet. That has become more important than their reputation. That has become more important than anything, than their relationships. That is more important than them procreating and having children. That has become more important than anything. Tell me why anyone would sexually molest a child. I'll tell you why. Because the perversion, the god, the idol, is commanding them to. And they obey. And so the idol becomes the god. And we worship the created things instead of the Creator. So worship disorder. And we are created to worship. That's why we're here, to worship God. But we begin worshiping the created things. You're going to worship something. Something is set up in your heart today, right now. And you're worshiping it. We all are. And it's your master. And you're its slave. It will stop you from coming to church. It'll stop you from giving to the kingdom of God. It'll stop you from praising God. We have a worship disorder. And when we identify it and recognize it, we can now bring it down. So I'm going to just pick it up here next week. I got my goal across, I think, this week. You're awfully quiet, man. I'm hearing pavers turn, and that's good. Because it's that important that we see this and we recognize this and we begin to deal with this. I'm going to pick it up right here next week. Next week's thing, my emphasis is going to be how we bring this stuff down. What do we do? How do we conquer the idol? That's what I'm going to be doing, but I'm going to give you a little homework this week. I want you to do something. I want you to do this in the morning, when you wake up, how do we know if we have an idol god? How do we know that? How do we know? Well, it's really pretty easy. Tomorrow, when you wake up and get out of bed, I want you to try to note the thoughts you have the first 10 minutes you're up. I want you to think about it. Now, I'm not talking about bodily necessities, okay? Talking about your thoughts. Because you will think about your God in the first 10 minutes you're awake. Your God will make you. For example, how long does it take me to think about when will I get to pray? When will I get to talk to God? When will I get to spend some time with Him in His Word? If that's in my first 10 minutes, then God's my God. When I was addicted to nicotine, before I brushed my teeth, I'm thinking about that first light up, that first puff, that first hit. Cup of coffee and a cigarette. Right there. An alcoholic will think about the next time they have an opportunity to get a drink. If you're a sex addict, you're going to have a lewd thought. First 10 minutes, you're awake. Your God is going to have you thinking about it and worshiping it your first 10 minutes. And for nothing else, it's going to be a great experience, right? Experiment just to find out what you do think about. What do I think about? I believe it's going to be life-changing. So your God will command you to think about it. And what's amazing to me is people that say they're Christians can go all day long and never think about God. Never think about praying. Never think about reading the Word. Never think about ministering to people. Is God really their God? So it's going to be a great experiment for you, and I think you're going to find something amazing. And you'll be able to identify it, and then we can now, once it is identified and addressed, now we can begin to bring it down. An addiction, let me summarize, is a sin. It's not a disease. It's something that we have self-selected and shackled ourselves to. It's our God of choice. It can be nearly anything: food, money, shopping, drugs, technology, internet, hobbies, children, spouse, pleasures, gratification, sports. The list can go on and on and on. And an addiction is an idol God set up in our hearts that we set up. An addiction is worshiping the created thing rather than the Creator. An addiction is anything that easily interferes with your worship. It easily keeps you from church. It easily keeps you from praying. It easily keeps you from reading His Word. It easily keeps you from worshiping Him. It's inverted worship. It's a worship disorder. Again, you know, my intention is not to condemn. I want to help. Because addictions will ruin you, destroy your life, and will eventually kill you. Let's identify them. Let's deal with them. And let's pray. Father, thank you. You're kind of in our face today, Lord. And I feel like I've been mean. I didn't want to be mean, Lord. I really want to help because this is so ministered to me. I want to share it. I want to help. So, Father, I pray now by your Spirit that you've touched and spoken to people. You've brought it to life and light in them. And that, Lord, we'll be able to deal with it. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I'm not going to in any way embarrass you and try to make you raise your hand and say, I have an addiction. That's not what I'm after. That's not it at all. But what I am after is doing what it did for me and seeing how easily sometimes things interfere with my worship and cause me a worship disorder. So if maybe you would say what I said, is that, man, this thing just easily causes me to invert my worship. And I'll sometimes do this when I should be doing that. It easily causes me to have a worship disorder. So maybe that's you. And you would say, God, I recognize that. I want you to be God. I want to worship you. I want you to be priority. I want you to be the God that I really worship, not these dumb idols. God, you're going to love me. You're going to tell me the truth. You're going to take care of me. These dumb idols are out to ruin and destroy me. I want you to be my God. But I need the Holy Spirit to help me. So what I'm asking today, Lord, is that will you, Lord, let your Holy Spirit help me? Will you give me some assistance here? So maybe that's you. If that is you, would you, along with me, say, Lord, I need some help here. And sometimes these things do kind of easily beset me. They kind of jump in on me and cause me to not worship you like I should. If that's you, would you, along with me, raise your hand and let me pray for people. I see hands everywhere. Most of us. Father, we're honest and we're asking you to help us. So we need your Spirit to lead us and guide us and help us, Lord God. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us by your Spirit. Without you and your power of your Spirit, we can't do it. We just can't do it. These things will destroy us. We've got to have your help. So please, Lord God, please help us. Help us to defeat these idols. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. Maybe you're not having the relationship with God that you want to have, that you know you should be having. I'm hoping that today has maybe shed some light on that. There's an idol. There's an idol in the way. But you want to worship God. Maybe you've never really dedicated your life to Him and given yourself to Him the way that you really want to. But you're saying today, I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to worship God the way I'm supposed to. I'm going to love Him the way I want to. The way I should. The way He wants me to. The way I'm created to. So if that's you, you're just not where you need to be with God, and you're recognizing that there's just something in the way, and you're ready to start dealing with it, and ready to say, God, I want You to be my God. You're just not where you need to be with God, and you know it. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Just let me pray with you right with your hand. I see hands here, hands there. See 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.